T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now, 94 WIP, 11 o'clock on a Sunday. We would normally be doing the pregame show, me on radio, Ray on TV, but not today. Eagles game has been pushed back to Tuesday against Washington. But we have the opportunity now to have a guest today. Derek Bodner joins us. You can follow Derek on Twitter at Derek Bodner, B-O-D-N-E-R-N-B-A. And Derek's got a new venture going on. And you know what? Let's talk about that first, Derek. You've decided to become an independent magnate. Is that correct?
We'll go with magnate. Sure, sure.
What are you doing, and how do people get involved?
So it's basically running a subscription-based newsletter. We've seen a whole bunch of people go this route of late. Mark Stein, probably the most prominent in NBA circles. But basically, it is to try to cater towards a little bit more of a diehard fan base, somebody who's really interested in collective bargaining agreement, deep dives on analytics, something of that sort. Writing to that audience, you would go to daily6.com, could subscribe there as low as $2 a month.
Very, very good. We wish you a lot of luck with that. Sixers at home tonight against a struggling New Orleans Pelicans team. Then the Sixers traveled to Boston, played tomorrow night against the Celtics. And Derek, I think we all thought, even without Ben Simmons, they'd certainly be lurking near the top of the standings. They are now 15-15, eighth place, clinging to that last playoff spot. So I guess my question for you is this what they are, or Simmons trade aside, we'll talk about that. Is this a team that we should have much higher expectations for at this point?
Yeah, I think they're probably a little better than they're playing right now, but I think the overarching concern is that they're just not good enough without a Ben Simmons trade. You know, maybe they could play. Right now they're in a horrible shooting slump. You've got some really good shooters right now who can't make anything. And then you've got some players who are in and out of the lineup, and the two of those things have made it real tough to win here over the last couple of weeks. But part of the reason that being in the shooting slump is hurting them so much is because they just don't have really all that many ways to generate good offense outside of Joel Embiid. They don't have all that many reliable players. Tyrese Maxey is great at times. Tobias Harris is in a huge slump and really underperforming. Outside of that, there's just nobody on the roster who really can create their own offense or create offense for others. And when your perimeter shooters aren't making shots and you don't have a great defense, which they don't this year, it's been real tough. So yeah, they definitely need a Ben Simmons trade to actually be relevant in the Eastern Conference. The hope is that you can bide, you know, another 6 weeks to get to the trade deadline and not be completely underwater. And in order to do that, they do have to start playing better basketball.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things you could point to, Derek. But one of the ones that is apparent to me is they're a poor rebounding team, and especially offensive rebounds. I mean, they never get an offensive board, and I know. You know, that's, you know, especially if Embiid is standing out at the 3-point line, that takes your big man away from the basket. But I mean, is there any way they can get better off the offensive glass? Because they get nothing there, and it's hard to win in the NBA if you don't get some offensive rebounds.
Yeah, I think they're the last ranked offensive rebounding team in the NBA in terms of what percentage of their misses do they collect. I think they're last, if not their last, are right at the bottom. And part of that is Embiid, you know, plays at times at the 3-point line. But part of it is also that when trying to surround Embiid, they've just gone very heavily towards the shooters. And you've got a lot of small perimeter players. You know, Tyrese Maxey doesn't really rebound. Seth Curry doesn't really rebound. Korkmaz, Matisse Thybulle even though he's a defensive player, not a great rebounder. They've just got a lot of smaller, undersized players who don't really have a nose for rebounding. And rebounding, especially in today's NBA, when you really only have one big man on the court at all times, That has to be a collective effort, and they have way too many negative rebounders right now to be competitive in that regard. The hope is that you can get them up to at least passable offensively and pretty good. They've been good at times defensively. I think this is one of the areas where you really do miss Ben Simmons. He was a really strong defensive rebounder, especially considering he was playing the point guard spot. Losing him, I think, has exposed just, like I said, how much they have veered towards smaller, more perimeter-based shooters here over the last couple of years. I don't expect this to ever be a good rebounding team as constructed, not until a Ben Simmons trade, but they do certainly need to do better.
All right, well, let's get to the Ben Simmons trade and what may be going on. There was a lot of thought that December 15th was going to open things up because you could then trade certain guys who had been free agents that you couldn't trade before. I do hear chatter. I do hear buzz, but I don't know that it amounts to anything. What's your view right now on what may happen and when it may happen?
No, I think chatter and buzz without amounting to anything is probably the stage that we're at. Look, I think December 15th was important because if you get close to a deal, a lot more players are trade eligible now. It becomes easier to match salaries and make a multi-team deal work. And I do think this is eventually going to be a multi-team deal when you get there. But at the end of the day, you need a team willing to give you an all-star or better caliber player. And right now, there just aren't many teams who are willing to move that kind of player. You know, in order for someone of that quality to become available, I think you're going to have to wait and get closer to the trade deadline when teams are really ready to hit the eject button on their season and to blow things up. And outside of some very select few teams, like the Pacers, the Kings seem like they're always in that spot, especially when they face reality and realize it's going to be the same struggling season they always have. The Blazers seem like they could be getting to that spot depending on what they do with their open GM spot. Outside of that, there just aren't very many teams that are at that point, which is why I think this is really going to go down to the February 10th trade deadline.
Well, they're playing shorthanded every night.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they're going to throw away the season because of is it Daryl Morey? Is this on Daryl Morey that he didn't move earlier, that now they're just going to struggle through the rest of the season or at least until the trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, I think once he got past the free agency period in the summer, this was always – I mean, teams just aren't motivated to make trades until the trade deadline. That's always sort of been the case in the NBA. You very rarely see major blockbuster deals here in December, even in early parts of January. And I think Daryl feels like if he screws up this trade, yeah, he might get something back now that might help a little bit. It's still not going to make them a title contender. And also by, you know, trading away your best asset, you now have no real way to get an all-star or better caliber player. I think if he screwed up, it would probably be last summer. I don't think there have been really quality offers that would actually change the direction of the team available here over the last couple of months.
Are there any Simmons sightings, Derek? I mean, does anybody have any idea what he's doing now, where he is, if he's doing anything to stay in shape, if something happens, is he going to be ready to play for whatever team he goes to? Does anybody have any idea what this guy's up to?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't really have a great answer for that. I do think if there's one thing I trust him to do, which is a pretty small list, but staying in shape is one thing he's pretty good at. So I'm sure he's putting in the work somewhere. There was the Sixers screwed up and forgot to list him on the injury report yesterday for a brief moment, and that caused a lot of people to panic and wonder what was going on. It was just a mistake. He's not any closer to playing. No, I don't know exactly who he's working out with or where he's doing it, but like I said, the one thing I do trust is that he will probably be in shape when he's ready to go.
I had such high hopes for Doc Rivers, Hall of Famer, great coach, you know, won a title. And I really question his in-game strategy, his late-game strategy, his use of players. Is Doc Rivers having a really bad season, or am I just imagining that?
Yeah, I think he's having a disappointing season. You know, I think really the warts on Rivers started to show last year in the playoffs, certainly in that Atlanta series. I think by and large, he sets a pretty good base system to get the most out of his core players, out of his focal points. And then adjusting from there, I think, can be slower than most of us would hope for. And I think that has been the case here at times. You know, I do think a lot of the problems they're having right now are a combination of, you know, player availability. They've just had a lot of small nagging injuries along with COVID misses that the whole league is going through. And also just being shorthanded. Like we said, you take $35 million out of your lineup, especially a player as unique as Simmons, because so much of the players around him were built to compensate for his weaknesses, and he made up for a lot of their own weaknesses. I think he's, you know, I don't think Doc Rivers right now is a problem with this team. But I do think, you know, when he came in here, I think a lot of people had expectations, which were probably a little bit unrealistic. But I think he, you know, I think he's doing an okay job, but I don't think he's fixing most of their problems either.
Yeah, when as a coaching point, one of the things that, you know, has me sort of scratching my head were the last couple games where the team got off to such a terrible start. I mean, to their credit, and Doc, you know, in his post-game remarks talked about how they rallied and they came back and they had gave themselves a chance at the end. But they've had a couple games here back-to-back where their first half play has just been dreadful. And it's basically buried them in games like that. And at some point, that has to come back to coaching too, right?
Well, especially the Miami game. The Miami game was frustrating because they had just gotten their doors blown off in Memphis, which you sort of understood because they were playing without Joel Embiid. But you figured they would come out back on their home court against a team that was missing most of their core players and give a good effort to get back on the winning side of the ledger. And they came out with no energy. And they were just completely flat. And certainly coaches, part of their job, a big part of their job is motivation and focus. They were not focused or motivated in that Miami game. You could say the same thing about the Brooklyn game, which obviously they got a lot better in as that game went on. But when you put yourself in a big hole like that, it's tough to come back from. Yeah, he has not pushed all the right buttons. And again, we could go back to last year where he was brought in and accountability was a big buzzword and getting Ben Simmons to step out of his comfort zone and become the player that everyone thought he should be. Clearly that didn't happen. I don't know if anyone could have gotten through it Ben at that stage of his career, but what he was brought in on was to motivate, was to get the most out of some of these players, and that by and large hasn't necessarily happened.
All right, last one, Derek, and this may appear to be a loaded question. It's certainly not intended that way. When do we get to the point when the verdict is in on the process, and can we agree that the verdict is guilty of wasting our time? Ray, did I ask that correctly?
I think I was well put.
You changed the chef on the process midway through, so I'm not sure you really get that. Look, here's what I'll say. And to me, the process ended when Hinkie left, because it's a completely – I mean, look, he hired Colangelo, and we could go over all those mistakes.
Yeah.
In a three-year period, you ended up with Joel Embiid and back-to-back number one overall draft picks. The fact that it didn't work out, I don't really think the process was a waste of time. I think the Sixers made a lot of mistakes in terms of their front office after that. Yeah, okay. I don't agree with you on that one.
I know you don't, and we never have, but that's I mean, kind of what makes it
I'm
fun.
Happy to come on and debate that at any time, but
no,
me, Joel Embiid is the best player they've had in a very long time.
Oh, no
they
doubt.
They had ample draft picks and
yeah, Okafor, not so much. Nerlens Noel, not so much.
Trying to think of who else was in the last 20 years, like missing on one isn't really like that's missing the forest for the trees. I think.
Okay.
You had a chance to build a contender here, and
they got one great tree.
That's what I asked for.
They got one great tree, and then a bunch of shrubs.
Sure.
Hey, Derek. Before
those great trees are tough to get in the NBA.
I understand, and I worry that great tree is they're never going to win a title.
100%. I'm with you on that.
Before we let Derek go, I have one last question. Getting back to that tree. What is his physical condition right now? Because I understand he's dealing with some more aches and pains.
Yeah. For the most part, the knee that he didn't get operated on over the summer has not seemed to be too big of an issue here, especially over the last couple of weeks. It's the rib injury, the rib soreness that he has had. It seems like something that's just lingering. It doesn't seem like anything that's going to require surgery, at least that we know of at this time. But they have been a little bit quiet on the exact nature of it and what they're doing to fix it. But it has lingered, I think, more than Joel expected and certainly more than we expected. So it's something to watch.
All right, Derek, one more time. People want to follow you, get your expert analysis. What's the new way they can do it?
Twitter at Derek Bonner NBA or daily6.com.
Daily6.com. Sounds good. We really wish you success with that. As always, thank you so much for joining us.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks, Derek.
We will talk to you soon. What?
He's still holding the light on the process.
They all are, my friend.
That's the position of all those folks now.
Yeah,
is that it? You know, you can't judge it now because Sam Hinkie didn't get a chance to finish his master plan.
Incomplete. Ray, Eric in New Jersey wants to raise a point that you and I believe is going to be a big problem this week. Erica, go for it.
Hi. Yes. So hoping you can help settle a very lively household debate. With the Eagles game moving to Tuesday, what happens with all of the parking? Because the Flyers game is happening at the same time. And, you know, just going to an Eagles game alone, I think it took us an hour to get out of there during the Saints-Eagles game. So, you know, what happens to the season ticket holders and the tailgaters paying for parking for Eagles games?
My prediction is complete and utter disaster. And I don't know what else to tell you. I'm trying to follow the news, see if maybe the Flyers are going to move the time. I don't know how they're going to accommodate. Part what they're going to say is everybody should take public transportation, which is all fine and well, but that's difficult for some people to do. And parking is horrible under normal circumstances down there. It's going to be nightmarish.
Yeah, and then somebody's going to lose money, right? Because they're going to have to, if you're not allowed to park there when you paid for parking, but now a Flyers fan, you know, someone going to the Flyers game, also
yeah, they're on a parking spot. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
All true. I don't know what your family debate is, but Ray, my debate is it's going to be awful.
Yeah, it is. There's no getting around it. I mean, I don't even know if, especially with the two games going off at exactly the same time.
Yes.
You know, the Eagles crowd is an early arriving crowd because of the tailgating. There's not. So the Eagles crowd is going to be there three hours easily, filling
Tuesday,
the parking lot. So when the Flyers crowd starts to arrive, the parking lots, they're going to find the parking lots are already full.
Ray, it's a work day for people.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think Eagles fans are going to. Well, hold on, Erica. Hold on 1 second. I don't think Eagles fans are going to be able to show up at three. Some will, but you're not going to have the tailgate that you normally have because it's a Tuesday day, and it's going to be dark.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to stop them. I mean, the tailgate people are going to be. They'll leave work at noon. I mean, that's not a problem. You know, the number may be down a little bit, but it's not going to be down that much. And when the Flyers crowd arrives. You know, they can't arrive at the time they normally would for a Flyers game, but even if they come an hour and a half early, they're going to find the parking lots largely full. It's going to be really tough. I mean, what I would tell you is, the public transit, I think, is the way to go. I mean, drive into town, park your car somewhere in town in a garage, and just hop the Broad Street subway. I mean, and save yourself a lot of aggravation.
Yeah. All
good
right,
luck,
well,
Erica.
Thank you. Okay,
all
bye.
Right. Hey, do us a favor. Call us next week and tell us how this turns out.
Okay, we'll see.
Right.
Okay,
good
bye.
Luck. Yeah, I think it's going to be awful. I keep waiting to see, are they going to have extra buses? Are they going to? I don't know where they could open more parking spaces. There really aren't any to open up, right?
No, but, I can't imagine.
Right. But it's.
I mean, I guess. Do they already? I probably should know this. I don't even know this. Do they have spillover parking like in FDR Park, like the park across the street from the NovaCare complex? Can they park cars in there?
I think so. I mean, you can park wherever. You just have to get to the stadium.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you actually can park in FDR Park in a situation like this, which is unusual conditions. This isn't what you normally face, but okay, this is what we're dealing with.
Yeah, people have parked in it. When we used to do the pregame show in FDR Park, and that was a while ago, so it may have changed. But 10 years ago, we used to do the pregame show over there, and cars would park there, and people would head to the stadium from there.
Oh, okay.
I don't, again, I'm assuming it's the same, but I can't guarantee that.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I'm not giving people parking advice
other
than get there early and good luck. That's the extent of my advice.
Yeah, and I know I'm taking the subway. I mean, I'm just not even going to deal with it. And I have a parking pass. I have a parking pass, but it's getting through the gate that's the problem. And I just said, you know what, I'm just going to take the subway.
Just do me a favor. When it's all over and you get off the air at like, whatever, 1 a.m.?
Right.
Would you figure out how to get an Uber home at that time?
No, I'm just going to go out on Broad Street and stick my thumb out and see who's passing by.
Well, there's a fine idea. 215-592-9494. We're looking forward to your calls, but coming up in the next segment, we didn't get to do what we're watching yesterday. It is coming right now, and Ray's going to give you his favorite movies of the year. I'm going to give you the best TV shows of the year. My advice? Get out a pad and a pen or be by a computer because you want to type all of these down because this is going to be a bunch of stuff worthy of you watching. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now on 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.